question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Thanks for staying with us through the break. Robert, Mary here with you now for more of our World Travel Get-Together. Before we get into our personal connection episode, a quick word about our sponsor, LifeLock.com, that now includes Norton Security.
The world is full of sounds that warn you about danger, like foghorns for boaters, or if you get a little too close to a rattlesnake, you're going to hear that infamous rattle. But in the digital world, if your personal information is in danger, there's no rattling or sound to let you know there's trouble.
No, there is not, folks. But LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, well, they've added the power of Norton Security for comprehensive of protection against threats that you can't easily see or fix on your own. And if you ever have a problem, well, they have agents who will work to fix it. Join now for the first year. You'll save 10% when you use our code RM at LifeLock.com. There's also a link at RMWorldTravel.com under sponsors.
For today's installment of our Personal Connection series, we're being joined by Dr. Ben Lebrow, the founder and CEO of Floating Doctors. After graduating from med school in Ireland in 2000, he was on the vacation of a lifetime in Tanzania a few years later when an experience in a remote village changed the entire course of not just his medical career, but really his entire life. Certainly every episode of our Personal Connection series are different, but what today's installment should share with many of the others is the impact that travel can have on our lives, often when we least expect it.
Nice to connect with you, Ben. Welcome to RM World Travel. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, listen, I'm sure you're often asked how you got the inspiration for Floating Doctors, so I want you to help us set the scene for our listeners around the country. From what we understand, back in 2004, you were on a leisure trip to Tanzania to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, and after that experience, your next stop was out to the Serengeti to see wildlife, and on the way, your guide asked if you wanted to stop into a small village, so pretty straightforward stuff, I think. But now, really what I want you to do is explain what happened in that village that started you thinking about your job in a whole new way.
Sure thing. I mean, if you want to talk about transformative travel, this was, you know, blinding flash on the road to Damascus, as it were. A chance encounter. The guy driving me kind of said, hey, there's a Maasai village near here. I know some of the folks there. Do you want to meet them? And I said, sure. little knowing, you know, destiny awaited, you know, down the end of this little road. So, you know, he takes me to this tiny village. It's in the middle of nowhere. It might as well have been on an island, you know, miles from anywhere. And as soon as they found out I was a doctor, the same thing happened everywhere I go. Oh, you're a doctor. Hey, doc, do you mind having a look at this thing on my... Except it was things like lion wounds. You know, it was unusual problems.
Yeah, not
things. So the first person had back pain, though. And, of course, I'd been trained, okay, in anti-inflammatory, something like that. But I didn't have that stuff. So I was like, all right, here's a straight leg stretch that will work. Here's... It was interesting because the thing that I ended up giving, because I didn't have other things, was really the thing I should have given in the first place. You know, something really patient-centered, something effective, something safe. And so I did that for one person and then another and then another and then another. And really, like, this short visit turned into a seven-hour stretch. I saw, like, 40, 50, 60 people.
Hmm.
And I got back in the car and I went, all right, that's it. This is what I'm going to do.
It found
you. Come back to this village or... any village just like it, the people are poor and far from services,
right,
and I'm going to bring a way bigger backpack.
Right. So, Ben, from what I understand, you found an old ship in Florida. You and some friends worked to fix it up, and you're getting ready to take it out and take medical supplies. At that point, where were you going? And I know it's right around the time that the Haiti earthquake hit.
Sure. We decided we would use a boat-based service, partially because, you know, that was my experience working on fishing boats and things of that nature. We found a boat in Florida, got it fixed up, and, you know, our plan was to visit many different places for a short amount of time and do brigade medicine. And right around the time our ship got ready, the earthquake in Haiti happened, and we went, well, this is put up or shut up time, if it ever was. Mm-hmm. So we went directly to Haiti, stayed a bit longer because, you know, special circumstances, and that's where we learned, you know, a short visit is great, but if you can stay somewhere a long time or permanently, what you can do is exponentially greater.
And you just led me to the next question. From what I understand, after spending years in Haiti and Honduras as well, you've now set up a permanent rural healthcare service in Panama. Is that correct? I'd like to know, you know, what your goals are there and how many members you have on your team today.
Right now, just staff down in Panama, I have 22 people,
mm-hmm.
which includes dentists, veterinarians, educators. That's just my staff. Among my other volunteers, I might have up to 50 or 70 other volunteers on site. I mean, there may be two different medical teams, a dental team, a veterinary team, you know, special projects. It's really grown quite a bit. In Panama, there was a perfect area for us to demonstrate how our project works well. There's 10,000 square miles, indigenous villages scattered all through it, no electricity, no water, very poor access to health care, and no roads or infrastructure. So our team deploys from a central base there every week, going out to a network of about 30 communities, visiting them over and over and over again, providing services. You know, because we have an ongoing commitment there, this is our seventh year, rather than just going, diabetes, you better get this taken care of. Yeah. You know, we have people that we've been taking care of.
I mean, the difference that you're making there, it's so impactful. When Mary talked about when you found this kind of dilapidated boat and so forth, I wonder, do you still have it? Do you still employ the same model boat?
That boat we actually sold because where we work now, there's a lot of shallow rivers.
Okay.
We actually use a giant dugout canoe.
Do you really? All right, so that's the kind of boat that you found makes the most sense then, that shallow canoe.
Yeah, it's a canoe. It's 50 feet long, made from a single tree, but it can carry our entire team and a couple tons of gear. So I think we travel something like, it was something crazy. I told it up last year. It was like 28,000 miles. In the canoe, through rains and storms, trying to reach people.
Right. Ben, I'm sure you've got a lot of patient stories, and you've certainly seen a lot both medically and professionally, but from a humanitarian standpoint, working directly with these people who are in such need, I understand doctors are trained to not get too emotionally attached to their patients, but I feel like this work is a little different.
It has to be.
Do you have a particular patient story that really moved you?
Yeah, and it's not actually a life-saving, it's a life-changing story, but not a life-saving story. There was a little boy, early in our time there was a little boy with a really bad cleft lip and palate. He was about 1 year old, he kept getting aspiration pneumonia because of it. Everything else about it, it was a mess. His mom had never actually been off of her little island before. And we managed to find somebody, through Operation Smile that would do the operation. We go with her, it hadn't occurred to her she would need shoes to come to the city for this. It just was so new to her.
Mm-hmm.
She comes. We go over a 5,000-foot-tall mountain range. It's her first time in a car. We get to the city of a million people. We get to the hospital. We go in. I remember we go into an elevator. The doors close, and, she's very quiet. And the elevator starts moving, and I can see her out of the corner of my eye. She just braces herself, And it really hit home to me just how terrifying, the entire experience was, how outside of her comfort zone it was, but how desperately, as a mom, she wanted to get this done, that she was willing to go through anything. And we got it done. She became one of our strongest allies, in helping other patients, who were nervous. But the trust and the bravery, were so special that... I can barely even think about that. Because, he's doing great now. He's like 5 years old.
Oh,
he's in school.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about, when you were going to see that wildlife back in the Serengeti, when your guide just, randomly suggested to you, hey, I know this village. You think about where you are today. If you had simply said, no, listen, I've got a schedule, I've got to stay on this, or you weren't open to the fact of doing something different, going to Plan B, whatever it was, your life today would be dramatically different. But more importantly, all the lives that you've touched, how different they would be as well.
Just the chance encounters in the chain of causality that kind of led me to where I am now. Sometimes, it's extraordinary to me.
It certainly has to be as you look back. And, right now we've got a very large travel audience around the country. As folks are listening to this, if they say that they're interested, that maybe they want to get involved, or maybe they know family or friends or coworkers or, members of their church or whoever it may be, whatever it is, how can they get in touch with it? How can travel volunteers from around the states work with Floating Doctors?
There's nothing better than, not just a trip that we take, but a trip that takes us. And, travel that has a purpose. It's so satisfying. And the beauty about service work is you don't have to be a doctor to help people. You just have to be willing to help people. I promise there's plenty of work for anyone of any background, kind of a skill set.
Well, I see your website that's here. I'm sorry, I was going to say, I see your website.
Hop on our website, take a look. We take all kinds of volunteers. For a week, for a year, almost anything in between, and we work all year long.
And folks,
families are welcome. It's very kid friendly, and it's sometimes having the kids there.
Well, Ben, I just want to give the website on floatingdoctors.com, floatingdoctors.com. And when you go there, you can actually, right on the homepage, we're looking at that right now, you can see where you can help volunteer. Ben, congratulations on the success that you've had and being open to that suggestion from your guide, as I mentioned. Thanks for joining Mary and me today to share your story for our Personal Connection segment.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Ben, thank you so much.
All right, there goes Dr. Ben, and great stuff that he's doing.
Incredible story.
You know, they've had almost 5,000 people, I think, that have actually worked with him.
Yeah, really great.
So, folks, if you're interested, get in touch. And right now, by the way, would be a good time if you want to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at RM World Travel. We're going to pause for a few commercial messages from our sponsors, but RM World Travel will return in mere moments.
To join Robert, Mary, and Rudy, call 800-387-8025 or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.